The day millions of South Africans have awaited has finally arrived. There's a feeling reminiscent of April the 26th, 1994, with teams of reporters from global media converging on our country as they did when apartheid ended. We kick off this special episode on BizNews TV with our partners at the Financial Times of London. Alec Russell, their foreign editor, posed a couple of questions to ANC leader Cyril Ramaphosa during the president's campaign this week. The interview with Mark Filippino, who hosts the FT's News Briefing podcast, was the top story on it this morning. Let's have a listen in.
Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Wednesday, May 29th, and this is your FT News Briefing. South African voters will decide if a legacy is strong enough to keep the president in power. I'm Mark Filippino, and here's the news you need to start your day. South Africans head to the polls today. It's set to be the most contested election since the end of apartheid. President Cyril Ramaphosa has been in power for 6 years now, but his party, the African National Congress, has been leading for decades. The ANC is the party of Nelson Mandela, but staying in power in this election won't be easy. The FT's Alec Russell recently sat down with Ramaphosa, and he joins me now. Hey, Alec.
Mark, good morning.
All right, Alec, so do me a favor. Tell me exactly where you were when you talked to Ramaphosa.
I caught up with the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, on the election trail in a small settlement in the eastern province of KwaZulu-Natal. And it was a scorching hot morning one weekend. And there were hundreds of supporters of the ruling African National Congress singing old liberation songs from the anti-apartheid era.
And we have a really good template to work from. We've had 30 years of real progress in the country.
Cyril Ramaphosa is one of the greats of the anti-apartheid movement and the liberation era. I'm talking here of the period from about 40 years ago to 30 years ago when white rule came to an end. And he was tremendously important then in a whole series of negotiations that led to the end of white minority rule. Now, of course, he is South Africa's president. And I think it's fair to say that he's found leading South Africa and leading the ruling party, the African National Congress, a rather harder mission than the one he faced when he was trying to help end white minority rule.
Yeah, I want to dig into that a little bit. The ANC has faced a lot of challenges over the years, including really high unemployment and huge blackouts that have stifled the economy. Has Ramaphosa done anything to address those criticisms during his campaign?
So the whole Ramaphosa routine has always been one of seeking the middle ground. And the criticism of this has been that he's tried so hard to keep everyone within this sprawling party that is the African National Congress, which encompassed such a wide variety of political and ideological views that he's failed to make some of the key decisions that South Africa needed. Now, when I asked him about the state of the economy and why it had been growing at under 1% a year, and he took me right back to the apartheid era and the challenges they'd faced.
So the way the economy was structured was such that it allowed a few to participate, and largely white.
So I then had to sort of bring him up to date and say, but what about now? What about the challenge of getting investment? Because that's a massive problem for South Africa, as many global investors have been looking at South Africa with sort of lack of interest in recent years. And he was just about to turn to it. He said, oh, yes, investment.
Yes, with investment.
Yes, I think we're standing up.
And then the party spokesman intervened and shut down the conversation and said he had to go on somewhere else.
They shut the interview down real quick, huh? Alec, how much of Ramaphosa's re-election pitch is, vote for me and my party, we ended apartheid? I mean, It was a huge step for the country, but it was also 30 years ago. How much staying power does that have?
That's a good question, and it really goes to the heart of this election, actually. So bear in mind, it is 30 years since Nelson Mandela was inaugurated as the first black president of South Africa, the first democratically elected president of South Africa. And that was an amazing, magical day of hope. Here we are 30 years on. In all that time, the ANC has been in charge. And bit by bit, its majority has started to sink. Opinion polls suggest now at best 50%, very possibly mid-40s. And while people have been campaigning away, one of the big issues, of course, has been to what extent a political party can still cite the legacy of apartheid 30 years on, or to what extent the problems that South Africa faces should be laid at the door of the ANC. And now it's facing its first seriously competitive election. So I think this is a profound moment for the country after some years of drift.
Alec Russell is the FT's foreign editor. Thanks, Alec.
Mark, thank you very much.
Well, thanks to both Mark and Alec Russell for that wonderful insight. But with that as background, let's take a rational perspective and consider the key issues to look out for today. First, Election 24 is expected to reverse this decline in voter turnout that has been with us since 1994. In 1994, we don't actually have a figure for the percentage of the registered voters that went to the polls, because it was a unique process. We did, though, have nearly 20 million people who voted that year. In 1999, when only registered voters could participate, just over 16 million people did vote. That's almost 90% of those who registered. This has fallen steadily, hitting a new low of 66% in 2019. Remember, this is for the national and provincial elections only. When we start looking at the local elections, and in particular in 2021, there were 5.5 million people less than voted in 2029 who actually went to the polls in 2021. That dropped our turnout in 2021 for the local elections to just 44%. The ANC was the biggest loser in the 2021 elections. It dropped its total votes by almost 5 million from the 10 million votes it got in 2019 down to 5.3 million in 2021. The percentage of the vote went down 10 percentage points. So you can see that the decline was exaggerated perhaps by many ANC voters not actually coming out to the polls for those local elections. And as a consequence, we saw some of the major cities going out of ANC hands. Well, they've managed to cobble together some coalitions to bring back some of those cities, but it hasn't been a pretty picture at all. But this raises an important issue. Even in 2019, in other words, 5 years ago when we had our last national election, ANC voters were losing confidence in their party's ability to govern wisely at a local level. A little known fact, which is reflected when you dig into the numbers of 5 years ago, is that almost 600,000 people who supported the ANC for the National Assembly, in other words, those 400 parliamentarians who go to Cape Town and occupy the green leather benches, those 600,000 people did not vote for the party in the provincial ballot. So they don't mind them managing the country as a whole, but those 600,000 people said, oh, not my backyard, do not manage my province. The 2021 local election results reinforced this trend, with almost half of the ANC voters from the previous national election either not showing up or actually switching to another party. The big question today is whether that nearly 5 million people, those ANC voters who went AWOL in 2021, will actually show up. If they do, How will they cast their ballots? To retain control of national government, the ANC needs these people to arrive and then some more. How so? Well, it's likely that voter turnout will rise substantially from 2021, that 44%, may even exceed the 66% of the last national election. Election 24 is highly competitive. We've got two first-time parties that are about to make a big impact. That's MK and Action SA. One rejuvenated outfit. That's the Patriotic Alliance. One breakout party. Sorry, the rejuvenated outfit is the IFP. The breakout party is the Patriotic Alliance. And they're all set to challenge the status quo. We'll elaborate on that in a little while. But when you have a look at the number of registered voters, they're up by 1.6 million since 2021. In other words, the last major election that South Africa had, which was on the local level. Now, a lot of those new voters have been brought into the net by the opposition. There's been much work done by the DA and Action SA and BOZA, to mention a couple of the smaller parties who are coming into this election to try and shake up the status quo. We're likely to have a record, or we do have a record of 27.8 million registered voters this time round. And judging by the special votes that were cast over the last 2 days, it's very likely that we could see an increase in that voter turnout that we saw in 2019. There was 21% more special votes cast this year than 5 years ago. And out of country, things have been going gangbusters, helped along by the Democratic Alliance, which in the last election picked up 75% of the outside the country vote, the expats in other words. We're up to 58,000 that actually voted a week or so ago, compared with just under 20,000 5 years ago. Apart from the surge from expats and that 21% jump in special votes cast over the past 2 days, you can also understand that there is so much at stake and there has been a lot more coverage about this election. Because in the past, the party that was ruling since 1994 was never really in danger of losing its majority. And certainly many felt that the votes that they were going to be putting forward didn't really matter that much. Well, that certainly is very different this time around, with the media having been full of coalition talk for months now, and the poor performance of the ANC in the local election in 2021, exaggerating that trend. So how many voters does the ANC need to retain its absolute majority? And how does this compare with where it was in 2019 or indeed in 2021? Let's have a look at the math. The critical part is to determine the base of the ruling party. If the ANC starts off a base of retaining all the votes that it attracted during the Ramaphosa-fueled election in 2019, it would be pretty secure, provided the turnout is 70% or less. And you can see that at 70%, they would need to lose only 250,000 voters to retain 50% of the total and then make all the rules. However, if the turnout is higher than 70%, and that's a possibility given the interest in this election, the ANC will have to draw in 500,000 more voters than it had in 2019, which in recent terms anyway appears to have been something of a peak. If you move on to what happened in 2021, where half of its voters abandoned the ANC, it's got a mountain to climb to retain just the absolute majority. Forget about the 57%. that it achieved in 2019. Nearly 4 million at a turnout of 66%, 4.5 million at a turnout of 70%, and more than 5 million voters required into the ANC at a turnout of over 70%. The task for the ANC ground war machine is immense. We'll have to wait for the actual results, but based on the science that is available, the pendulum suggests to us that the ANC's challenge is closer to the 2021 numbers than 2019. And this is important. In other words, the base is more likely to be where they finished up at 47% in 2021 in the local elections, even though there was there was a lot less people who actually went to the polls that time round than the pretty good showing that was achieved in relative terms in 2019. One part of the science is that there have been 220 by-elections since the November 2021 local government elections. This happens due to the deaths, retirement, or expulsion of elected councillors. The ANC contested virtually all of these elections. It came in with a net loss of 10% of the seats, lost 27 seats to other parties, regained 5. That tells you that the momentum is clearly against the ANC. So where did the momentum shift to? In most recent times, it's been the Patriotic Alliance, which has picked up 6 seats, but by far the most wins have been achieved by the IFP, although this has been focused primarily in its homeland of KwaZulu-Natal. I should rather say home base. What are the expectations? Well, we asked the BizNews community to share their expectations on the election breakdown, and we had more than 1,900, almost 1,200 people who participated in it. Perhaps because of insights that they gleaned from interviews that we've been having with party leaders, their view differs significantly from South Africans' leading pollsters, especially in the vote shares for parties outside of the ANC and the DA. But back to the math. For the ANC to achieve the 41% consensus that's expected, it will need to attract 3 million more voters than in 2021. Now, this again is relevant. So just for the consensus of 41%, which the BizNews tribe also came in at, the ANC is going to have to bring 3 million more people to the polls than it managed to get its mighty ground machine in 2021, when there was a lot at stake. Johannesburg, Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, Nelson Mandela Bay. There was a lot that was riding on the local elections, and you could imagine that the ANC ground machine was at its ultimate then. Perhaps it's able to bring more to the polls now, but it'll have to, just to get to the consensus of 41%, which, remember, is well below the majority it requires to make all the rules. It's going to need 3 million more people. For MK, which is another pollster favorite, if it is to hit the 11 to 12% mark that the Social Research Foundation, ENCA, and Brenthurst reckons it'll get to, our tribe, by the way, as you can see, is thinking it'll only get 6%. If it is to get there, it's going to get it need to get 2 million voters to the polls. That's getting close to what the DA got in the whole of the local election in 2021. Quite an ask. Put differently, this outcome would require all of the ANC supporters from the last national election, who appear to have been split between ANC and MK, to either vote for the ANC themselves or for Jacob Zuma's newcomer. That itself would be quite an achievement, considering the economic differences between today and the height of Ramaphosa, plus the results that we've seen since November 2021 local elections and the 220 by-elections since then. Then again, no mortal has been absolutely certain and knows or has a majority or a monopoly on the truth, and certainly we don't know what the future will bring. But what we do know is that after the election results are in, the politicians have got something like 14 days to get their horse trading together, to cobble together coalitions. We think at BizNews that there's going to be surprises, and there's going to be some significant surprises. Our tribe gives the other category, which is Action SA, the Patriotic Alliance, Rise Mzansi, BOZA, ACDP, UIM, and other very interesting options, about 11% of the total vote, which is significantly higher than any of the pollsters give it. We shall know in the next few days whether these new parties are making a impact or not. A text edition of this broadcast, along with these tables, is available on BizNews Premium. Thank you for supporting our efforts. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.